Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended.
So, today we are going to dive deep into the world of overwhelm, exploring practical tools and techniques for handling all those all too familiar moments when life just feels like it is just too much. So, whether you're juggling work, family, or just the everyday chaos, I've got you covered. Now, this is how most of you arrive in my office, in the overwhelm state. And I have to say that this is the most difficult for you, but the most powerful for me. The problem is that sometimes I'm just way too good at my job. Cue vomit bucket. But seriously, what I mean by that is that one of my skills is helping people feel understood, connected, and safe. This means that they often don't feel as overwhelmed as when they arrived, and so sometimes they think they don't need to return. The thing is that overwhelm is often our body's way of letting us know something isn't right and that we need to do something different. That, my friend, takes time, and this is why I love working with clients in my Me, Myself and I program. We have time, oodles of it, 3 months in fact, with a session every single week. That's 12 live sessions where we talk about the core content from the week before and get to see how it actually applies to your life. I fucking love that shit. It's why I do what I do. And in this way, I get to work with people in a longer sense where you actually get better results. So do yourself a favour, get yourself on the wait list for the program, because even if it just tickles your fancy a tad at the moment, get on the wait list to access an epic early bird deal. And first access to sign up, because I'm capping numbers to guarantee an intimate and personalised experience. I'm so freaking excited. Join the waitlist today. The link to the waitlist is in the show notes. Anyway, let's get started. We've all been there, that feeling of being completely swamped with responsibilities and tasks. Overwhelm is that all too familiar feeling of being inundated by the relentless demands and pressures of life. It's a state of emotional and mental overload where the to-do list seems, oh my God, endless. Responsibilities pile up and the weight of it all can become suffocating. Overwhelm doesn't discriminate. It can affect anyone, regardless of age, background, circumstances. It often manifests in a range of physical and emotional symptoms, from stress and anxiety to fatigue and even indecision. Yet in the midst of the chaos, it's essential to recognize that overwhelm is a common human experience, and it's okay to acknowledge and address it. In fact, by understanding and implementing effective coping strategies, it's possible to regain control and find balance in the middle of any storm that life throws at you. So how can you tell when you're overwhelmed? Well, recognizing overwhelm is like catching those little red flags that signal, hold up, things are getting a bit crazy here. It's all about tuning into how you feel when life piles on the stress. Maybe you notice you're snapping at people more, or you're losing sleep over endless to-do lists, or even feeling that familiar knot in your stomach. These are the body's SOS signals telling you it's time to take action. The thing is that by the time people come into me, they are more than overwhelmed. They are totally overloaded. But the overwhelm starts way before that. You'll find that people sometimes do notice they're snapping, but they will either make an excuse for that snapping, or they will completely turn it around and say, and this is my special little favourite, well, if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have had to snap. It's not about the other person. It's about the signs that you can learn to notice so that you start to go, shit, hang on, maybe I need to do something. Yes, somebody might be doing some dumb shit that pisses you off, but it's your red button. You need to make sure that you deal with the red button. Nobody else knows where that bloody red button is. Okay, so one of the things I'd like to focus on specifically is procrastination, or finding it impossible to focus on anything. Often people notice the earlier things, like I mentioned, like not being able to sleep or a knot in your stomach. It doesn't mean they address it, but you certainly notice it. The one thing that people don't often notice is procrastination. Now, parents, teachers, hell, anyone in authority really, so society in general, has often viewed procrastination as laziness. Procrastination is not laziness. Procrastination is the effect of a survival response. So think about that. A survival response. It is our biggest telltale sign of overwhelm. We have four survival responses: fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Procrastination is the freeze response. This response basically tells our brain and body, shit man, this one's gonna combust if we don't shut her down. Now, I've never seen anyone in my therapy years combust, so obviously we don't do that. We simply shut down. That, my friends, is procrastination in a nutshell. It is your biggest sign of overwhelm. Now, because we don't recognize it, guess what we do? We speed shit up and start telling ourselves we're lazy, or someone else might do it for you, and we add more shit onto our plate to prove to ourselves that we aren't lazy. Welcome to the fast-tracked path to a breakdown, physical or emotional. Well, that depends on your choice of additions, but let me tell you, neither of them is pleasant. I'm wondering how many of you listening have just realized you're not lazy and are in overwhelm. Once you know how to read your signs, you'll be better equipped to tackle the root cause of your overwhelm or start implementing strategies to regain balance sooner. Now, I say either and or because if you remember back in episode 3, shit happens. Sometimes you cannot change a situation, but you can always change how you respond or how you take care of yourself within a shit show. It becomes your personal roadmap to feeling more zen in the chaos. The biggest, most powerful, and cheapest way to regain control when overwhelm takes hold? Breathe, people. Breathe. Controlled breathing can significantly reduce stress and anxiety, allowing you to navigate even the most challenging situation. So when I say controlled, I mean simple. Simple 4 or 5 breath process. No Lycra needed. Just stop. Breathe in deeply for 5 seconds, release for 5, and do it 5 times. You will be surprised at how effective this is. In the long run, Creating and implementing effective strategies around a few targeted areas can significantly reduce your overwhelm, even though sometimes you simply cannot reduce the tasks that you have to do. So how the fuck do we find this magical unicorn? Well, I'm going to give you a few tips. One of them is time management. Now, sometimes time management may be as simple as learning how to break down your tasks and tackle them step by step, making the impossible seem achievable. We all know what happens when you try to stuff too much pizza down your throat. You choke or you throw it back up. Number two, mindfulness and meditation. I can see the eye rolls from here. You need to make this fit for you. You don't need to sit with your legs crossed for 2 hours. Simply look for ways to stay present and reduce anxiety with mindfulness and meditation practices. They are a game changer. For you, this may simply be listening to the beats you love or disconnecting from the overwhelm in your head and connecting to the music itself. Keep it simple. I was chatting to a client yesterday, and one of my big ones is literally driving, you know, that whole big run that you do in the morning. You know, you get up, you got to do the whole breakfast. If you've got kids, you got to get those little shits out of the door. You got to drop off at school. And then you actually have to go to work. Now, that's been my life for the last, you know, 15 years. But one of the things I started doing was I would park my parking spot. I had this particular parking spot and it was always right in front of the sun. And I would sit, I'd turn the car off and I would literally sit in that car for just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, close my eyes. And the first time I did it, it was a fluke. But geez, I felt good. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that shit every bloody day. And I did. I did it every day that I rocked up to that office for 5 minutes. And it just made such a difference. It's the same concept as the breathing. Make it intentional. Who do I want to be when I get out of this car and how am I going to show up? You can make that decision every day. Now, if you listened to my last podcast, then you'll know that my go-to meditation king is Jason Stevenson. I use him for all my getting back to sleep troubles. But, you know, I don't want to be putting that on in the car because that's a health hazard, so don't do that. I actually, though, really like to listen to different podcasts, sometimes ones that make my brain think and some that don't. Anything that can take your mind off your own stuff but allows you to relate or observe it from someone else's perspective is a go-to. I recently listened to a US divorce lawyer talk about his experience with divorcing couples and his thoughts on why they end up in his office. It was totally fascinating and gave me a really different perspective on how he saw these people. Now, whilst I'm not currently in the middle of a divorce, I deal with this and it allowed me to gain more perspective. But it also allowed me to distance myself from the overwhelming busyness of that current Christmas period. Yes, I was totally stressed out like last month, like everybody ever, but I used some of these methods to help me sit in the space without drowning in the space. So number three, go back and listen to episode one and set boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries is a crucial skill in preventing overwhelm and maintaining a work-life balance. So try and pick a theme rather than an overarching, I'm going to get fit or I'm going to lose weight. For example, a big issue for work-life balance is technology. Now, if we use technology as a theme, ask yourself, how can I apply small shifts in all areas of your life? So let's use the theme of technology and we will apply it to work. So make January 2024 the moment in time when you actually turn those notifications off on your phone and don't get pinged all hours of the day with a work email. In fact, start with separating your personal and professional emails being available on your phone at all. Keep the personal, ditch the professional. So, keeping with the theme, let's apply technology at home and be intentional and think, how can I apply this at home? Well, put your phone away after a certain time so that you don't fall into the scroll hole. it is probably the number one complaint that walks into my office with couples. Oh, my partner's on their phone. Now, you can use your phone to de-stress, but if you cannot disengage yourself from the phone, it is causing a problem in your relationship and you have fallen into the scroll hole. Now, keeping the theme at home, but looking at a different space, use the time when you put your phone away and you intentionally check back in to do something with the kids or with your partner, which teaches them to disconnect from their tech. And it also shows how important they are to you. Get it? Pick a theme and then apply it to more than one area of your life. So number four totally relates to episode 4 that we utilize of my podcast in self-care. Self-care is more than just bubble baths and face masks. It's about checking in with yourself and asking what you really need. Learn how to make self-care a priority and then make it happen in your daily life. I will repeat that. Self-care is this above all else. Checking in with yourself and asking yourself, what do I really need? And then making it happen. So, number 5 tip, ask for help. I have so many people that have, you know, literally incredible support networks that they simply refuse to use because they won't ask. They feel like it is a burden. Don't be afraid to delegate tasks and ask for help when you need it. Sometimes that's the thing. In fact, I had a beautiful client this week, and if she's listening, she will know who I'm talking about. That's the thing that stops people from connecting with others, is being afraid that they will have to ask for help. But sometimes it's just sharing the load. You don't have to ask for help. You can just talk about it and you can just say, I've had a really shit week, and talk about what's shit about it. I think what's important for both people involved in that interaction, the first one is for the person sharing. They don't need to feel that they are a burden just because they're sharing a story. For the other person listening, don't feel that you need to do something because you're listening to the story. Often there is this hesitation by both parties, one in terms of giving the story, and two, people asking, how are you? Because there's this false belief that you have to do something. Nobody has to do anything. The old saying that a problem shared is a problem halved is simply about sharing the story. Sometimes nobody can do anything, and that's okay. But just listening to it and helping someone have a laugh while they're doing that is really beneficial. Now, there are obviously heaps more little tips, but working on my, you know, keep it simple, stupid principle, without the stupid bit, please don't write in and tell me I'm being offensive. These are the ones that do no further harm and can make a huge difference. So if you do need further support here, then reach out whilst my books are open. Now, that's a wrap for today's episode of Not Your Average Counsellor. And remember, overwhelm is a part of life, but with the right tools and techniques, you can conquer it. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, take a deep breath, stay mindful, and don't forget to prioritize yourself. You've got this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review this show. Your feedback goes a long way in assisting others to discover this info. So help me continue to help more people by providing your input. And while you're at it, don't stop there. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and on your social media. Don't forget to tag me at @VVincyTherapist. Also, I love hearing your feedback and takeaways, so DM me. My inbox is always open. If you're interested in hearing more about the Me, Myself, and I Mastery Program 2.0, I'm currently putting the final touches on it. The waitlist is open, so when all will be revealed, you will be the first to know all the deets, and by being on the waitlist, you get access to a significant discount as well. So if you are at all interested, put yourself on the waitlist. It really is a high-touch, high-impact experience, and to ensure that it remains that way, I cap participant numbers. More info in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a good one.